Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Thank you for being in the house of God today. Matthew chapter 12. I'm sorry, that's the wrong verse. Romans chapter 13. That's something else I'm doing. It's Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today on the subject. We're so glad to have my secretary's granddaughter with us here today, Hannah. God bless you for being here. I want to talk to you the subject on who are you wearing? Who are you wearing? As we know, has been the most asked question on the red carpet since the beginning of reporting and media as we know it. 3 decades now they've been asking these stars, who are you wearing? At the Grammys, at the Oscars, at the Emmys, all of the award shows. When I first noticed it several years ago, I thought it strange that the question was not, what are you wearing? But who are you wearing? According to CBS, Joan Rivers was the first person to ask, who are you wearing? In 1991. Since then, celebrities who walk the same carpet have been asked the exact same question for 3 decades. And it's not just at the Oscars and the Golden Globes and the Grammys and the red carpet events all over the world have become an industry unto themselves. So much that so that stars go into autopilot, spitting out designer names to any journalist in earshot. The answer cannot be, I don't know who I'm wearing. You can't do that. And you certainly can't say, it's Walmart or Target. It has to have value and identity. Armani, Lauren, Klein, Chanel, even the devil wears Prada. It's a loaded question. How famous are you? How wealthy are you? How important are you? How cutting edge are you? Who are you representing? And most importantly, for somebody that's there for the first time, a fledgling star, what famous designer will allow you to represent them? It's a venue to name drop, a place to announce that you're in league with the most famous designers in world fashion. It's a time-worn cliche, clothes do not make the man. However, it must have some role of importance when Americans spend $368 billion, with a B, on their wardrobe annually. Some of you don't. That's obvious, but some of you do. Clothing is a major topic in the Bible, so much that the mixing of fabrics is prohibited in the Old Testament. Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as woolen and linen together. Great emphasis was placed on what the high priest was to wear when entering the Holy of Holies. He shall put on a holy linen coat. He shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall be attired. These are the holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. This was all fulfilled in the introduction of the dispensation of Christ. All of that was not done away with, it was fulfilled. So many people are confused about the law. The law was not done away with, it was fulfilled in Christ. But both the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter do address the matter of apparel, even in the New Testament, establishing that modesty shall be the standard. Some of you haven't got that message yet. Jesus declares that looking on someone to lust is a sin of the Spirit. But Paul and Peter's teaching is causing someone to lust by dressing immodestly is an equivalent sin. Seems like it's quiet in here. Is that just me? As pertinent as these teachings are, that's not the heart of my subject today when I pose the question, who are you wearing? Nor do I intend to indulge my opinions on the dress-down culture. But I will tell you that when I travel, when I fly, when I go to the bank and other business that I conduct, I'm treated with preference when I choose to wear a business suit as opposed to showing up in my barn Wranglers. The former president observed in his many negotiations, regardless of what you think about him, he's a billionaire and in a major negotiator. He said, usually the best dressed individual in the room came out on top in all negotiations. You can take that for what it's worth. Because of my dedication to the salvation message, eternal truth, the issues of heaven and hell, I choose not to major in minors. Illustratively, the dressed-down culture, vaccines, fog in churches, contemporary traditional music, that's not the theme of my message. So what am I saying today when I ask the question, who are you wearing? By now, you should know where this sermon is headed. Putting on Christ. When you put on Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ to put on Christ. Who would believe that water baptism is a part of your putting on Christ? Putting on Christ in the morning. Every morning when you get up, your life should not be haphazard. It should be a chosen decision that you will put on Christ. Morning renewal. Before you go out that door, you should make sure that you're clothed from the top of your head to the sole of your feet in Christ. Every morning is a new day. That's the wonderful thing about God. He does not hold grudges. He gives us continuous application to reapply His blood that we might start brand new. And so no matter how much you failed yesterday, you can be victorious today. Every morning is a new day, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's where people make a major mistake. They think they get saved one day in a Franklin Graham crusade and never mention the name of Christ again. Those of us that have put on Christ, realize that we renew ourselves in Him day by day, every day. Morning joy. His anger endureth but a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Every morning should be new as you put on Christ. Morning mercy. It is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. When the prodigal came home, it was not sunset, it was sunrise. It was not the end, it was a new beginning. And the father said to his servant, bring forth his best robe and put it on him. And he put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. The best robe is the robe of righteousness. No matter how dark the night has been, joy cometh in the morning, and God said, slip on every morning the robe of righteousness. Who are you wearing? I'm wearing Christ in the heat of the day. In the heat of the battle, I wear Christ. Appoint unto them that mourn in Zion to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. David is our example in so many ways, as a praiser, as a prayer warrior, as someone that loved God. But the key to David's victories was dressing for the occasion. It is important to dress for the occasion. A friend of mine in debate with an atheist showed up in the most ragged clothes he could wear. He was known for wearing a black suit even to fish in, but he showed up for this debate in rags. And they said, why are you wearing, Brother Welch, those rags to a debate? He said, because when I go to skin a skunk, he said, I dress for it. The key to occasion, the key to victory is dressing for the occasion. And David knew that. When he got ready to fight someone that was his superior, Goliath was David's superior in age. Goliath was David's superior in experience. Goliath was David's superior in size. David's superior in every way, in reputation, in every way he was superior. And when he was made fun of by his brothers and his king and said, you're but a child going out there, you will be terribly defeated. But here, Saul said, put on my armor. And David slipped into that armor and said, it just does not fit. Friend, if you truly get saved, you'll find out that the apparel of the world simply doesn't fit. You're not comfortable in the apparel of the world. And David put it off. And so then he said to that man with great experience and great advantage, I come to thee in the name of the Lord. He knew what it was to put on God's armor, not the armor of man. And so he was greatly victorious. Secondly, when David took the throne and realized that Israel was in a position of perpetual defeat under the leadership of Saul, he said, we've got to turn this nation around. He sought the face of God and realized that they were being defeated because the Ark of the Covenant was no longer in possession of Israel, but it was in the possession of the Philistines. And he said, whatever it takes, we've got to get the Ark back from the Philistines. It's a long story that I will not indulge myself in now, but he brought that Ark home rejoicing. But as he realized the Ark of the Covenant was coming back to Israel, which symbolized the Holy Spirit and the victory that they would prevail in, he could not contain himself. He began to dance. And as he danced, he wore his kingly garments that were new to him. But he danced in such a way that the linen ephod fell off of him, which represented the purity of his kingship. And he just kept on dancing. His wife, which was a sourpuss, despised him in her heart because he was praising God like a common man. But David understood that he did not want the kingship of his authority to be the prevailing power of Israel. He wanted the Ark of the Covenant. He wanted the Holy Ghost. I find it appalling that so many preachers take upon themselves honor that is not theirs and glory that is disposable when they should be giving God the glory. Because your sermon is meaningless without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Your position was without authority unless God anoints you. And so we are here today to tell you to put off the flesh and to put on Christ. David was victorious because he knew who to wear. My question today is, who are you wearing? I want to dress up for Jesus in the evening. The evening symbolizes a time when we are not as victorious as we would like to be. But again, David would write and say, let the saints be joyful in glory, and then let them sing aloud upon their beds. He was talking about the time when you're sick and afflicted and you can't get up and you can't go to work. There's a lot of things you can't do. But he said, even when you find yourself bedridden, he said, put on the garment of praise because God will resurrect you from that. And so, friend, I want to ask you, who are you wearing in the evening of your life? Who are you wearing when you get bad reports? Who are you repairing? Who are you wearing when you have zero in your bank account? Who are you wearing when you get a red slip at work and says, it's over, don't come back tomorrow? Who are you wearing? David said, praise him on your bed. Praise him in the evening. I like to think about Jacob. It says it this way in Hebrews 11:21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, which would have been his grandson, and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. When it came to evening time, Jacob said, if you don't mind, I think I'll slip on the garment of praise. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to praise God in my youth. I want to praise God in my middle years, and I want to praise God in the evening. I'm appalled that men and women that live great lives seem to succumb to depression in their last years. I refuse to do that. The God of my youth is the great God of my last days. I will put on Christ every day of my life, from morning till noon till evening. Praise God. Who are you wearing? Samuel, taken by his wife, by his mother to the temple to become a prophet, left him there. But she visited him every year, and the Bible said it this way. His mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not just good that you got saved. It's not just good that you got baptized. It's not just good that you got filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a Sunday in October in 2021, and you should have got up this morning and said, if you don't mind, I'm going to put on a bigger garment. I'm going to praise God more than I've ever praised Him. I'm going to praise God with more diligence than I ever have. I'm more consecrated, sanctified, determined than I've ever been, because every day I put on Christ. I listened a long time ago to a woman on the radio. She used to teach, and she'd say, may Christ be big in you. And I used to say, lady, that's not right. He's either in you or out of you. And then I found this little verse. It said, until Christ be formed in you. That tells me that Christ can be different sizes in you. It just depends on who you're wearing. I want to wear a big Christ. I want to wear a Christ that is vocal. I want to wear a Christ that is victorious. I want to wear a Christ that is overcoming. I want to wear a Christ that is conquering. I want to wear a Christ of dominion. We are ambassadors for Christ. The Creator of the universe affords us the opportunity of representing Him to the world. Conquerors more than conquerors. Ambassadors for Christ. So when the world asks, who are you wearing? They will ask you that every day in a dozen different ways. My answer is, I have put on Christ. It doesn't matter about your race. It doesn't matter about your gender. It doesn't matter about your social standing. If you can stand proud and talk loud and say, I have put on Christ, that's what I am foremost. I'm a Jesus freak. I live for Christ. He's in my thoughts. He dominates me. He baptizes me. He controls me. He's on me, in me, and all around me. Jesus said, I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, and Solomon had all the money in the world. It was piled up like gravel, gold and silver. But he said, Solomon, all of his glories, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, let me tell you about the God that dresses me up in Christ. He paints every sunrise, and he paints every sunset. Every flower that blooms is his design. And so when God dresses me up in Christ, there ain't nobody in town that can compare to me. I wear Christ as a badge of honor. When I am heavy and depressed, he clothes me in the garment of praise. When I am prodigal, he clothes me with his best robe, the robe of righteousness. When I am in the worst of battles, he clothes me in the armor of the Lord. I've put on the armor of the Lord, which is no more nor no less than Jesus Christ from head to toe. Loins girt with truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the gospel, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. I am wearing Christ, and I wear him every day. When I die, I shall be adorned as a bride for her husband. There's some ugly women in this world. I've never seen any of them, certainly at Living Way. But I've never seen an ugly bride. There's just something about a bride that is beautiful. When she puts on that white dress and walks down that aisle, almost any man would say, I do at that moment. But the Bible said when we die and he comes for us, we will be dressed as a bride adorned for her husband. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that God has dressed me in Christ. Who are you wearing? I'm wearing Christ, the glorious victor, the major conqueror of the universe. I saw an amazing sight. And if you watch any news at all, you saw it several days ago when they were making their transformation of getting people from Afghanistan. There was an Afghanistan man. He would have been one of the translators. The translators are being killed in Afghanistan right now. He took that baby, his own little baby, less than a year old, and thrust it into a stranger's hand. The reason why he did that, he needed both hands to get his wife over the fence to safety. I'm happy to report that that man, that baby, and that wife are living safely in Arizona today. But I saw him interviewed on Friday, and they said this to him. They said, "Sir, how could you put your baby in the hands of a total stranger?" He said, "Oh, he just appeared to be a stranger to you. When I looked at him, he was not a stranger because he had on an American Marine uniform." Ladies and gentlemen, that's who we are. We're wearing Christ. You are my family. I don't care about your age. I don't care about your race. I don't care about your gender. I don't care about your wealth. Friend, if you have got on Christ, you're not a stranger to me. You are part of my blood family. And that's what we preach here at Christ, that we have truly put on Christ and we have trusted in Him. If you truly put on Christ, somebody will hand you their baby. You say, "I want to be a witness for Jesus." Somebody will hand you your baby if you represent Christ 365 days a year. If you do not succumb to the hatred and the violence of this generation, but every day you show up with Jesus on your lips, and Jesus on your face, and Jesus in your countenance, and they know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're a sold out, born again, spirit-filled Christian from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not doomsday for the church. This is the greatest opportunity the church has ever had, because it's darker outside than it's ever been. And so your light is brighter than it's ever been. It's time to smile. It's time to laugh. It's time to testify. It's time to shout. It's time to sing. It's time to dance. It's time to glorify the Lord. It's time to let a real Christian example be exhibited in your life. There's a world looking for a way out. They're not only running out of answers, they're running out of things to try. And ladies and gentlemen, next on the agenda is the Church of the Living God. I predict, I prophesy that there is revival coming to America, because America is coming to its wit's end. But they can't come to a church that is not sold out. They can't come to a church that is dead. They can't come to a church that is depressed. They can't come to a church that is bigoted. They can't come to a church that is prejudiced. They can't come to a church that is hate-filled. They've got to come one that looks just like Jesus. I ask you, who are you wearing today? You're wearing somebody. I hope it's Jesus Christ. I hope that everybody that knows you knows that you are a Christian. Many years ago, during one of the great hurricanes on the Gulf Coast, one of my dearest friends escaped with his life as his church was flooded. His house was destroyed. Everything, and he arrived in San Antonio. He said, "May I see you in your office?" I got to the office and he had a huge paper bag. I said, "What's in the bag?" He said, "I brought it to you to keep for me." I said, "What's in it?" He said, "Money and lots of it." He said, "It's all of my life savings. My cash is in that bag." And he said, "I've got to leave and I want to give it to you to hold for me." A year later, he had never mentioned it to me. He was back in his house and I called him one day and I said, "Brother," I said, "what about the sack?" He said, "I am so happy that you have it, because I trust you, and you're the only man in the world I would trust you." I finally had to take it back to him. He wouldn't even come and get it because he said it's safe with you. Has anybody ever given you their baby? Does anybody trust you? Does anybody say you're not a stranger? Even though we were not born of the same father and the same mother, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're the genuine article. You're the real thing because you have put on Christ and you exhibit that every day. It's one thing to come to this house and shout and sing and dance and come down front and praise God for that. It's the highlight of my week when God's people gather together and praise God. It's a privilege to me to come to this church, to be in this pulpit. It's not something I have to do. It's not a duty. It's a privilege. But friend, more than that, just coming to church, do you take what's in this place and do your best to spread it in your neighborhood, on your job, in your family, to everybody you come in contact with, because I promise you, in their subtle way, they're asking you, who are you wearing? What's your life about? Does it have value and does it have identity? And I am persuaded that there are people sitting in this house that are God's apple. They are the apple of God's eye, that God rides with you every day, that you're not Sunday Christians or Wednesday converts, but 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, you wear Christ. And there are people all around you that are looking on you, and it's not got tough enough for them yet, but almost they're ready to break. The pressures of this world are crowding in, and they don't know where to turn or who to go to, but they're looking to you. And if you have put on Christ, I promise you that your greatest witnessing opportunities are just ahead of you. They're going to pull you to the side. There used to be a man that lived on some property that we own here just a few 100 feet from this building. He was the most vile man I've ever met. His language was filthy. He was 70 years old, living with a 20-some-year-old girl, and he would beat her and curse her at every opportunity. And I saw him in Luling, Texas at a horse sale, and he always made fun of me. And he said, "Fender, step behind the barn with me, would you please?" I was actually afraid of this guy. He was violent. I stepped behind the barn with him, and he said, "Sir." Never called me sir before. He said, "I'm dying with cancer. I've always respected you. Would you pray with me right here?" I led him to Christ behind that sale barn in Luling, Texas. You've got some people that think that you think are your enemies. They're not. They're simply convicted, condemned, frustrated, torn up inside, and you are a handy whipping boy. But ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, tomorrow, the next day, they're going to come to you and you're going to be able to lead them to Christ because you wear Christ and you wear Him proudly. Would you stand with me in this audience today? I want to tell you that Jesus Christ knows exactly what He's doing. It's not over for the church. It's not the end of the day. It's not through with America. God knows what He's doing, and He is navigating His church through this world like it's a minefield with one purpose, and that is, the Bible said, He's long-suffering, that Christ will appear at the apex. In other words, when the most people are saved and the most people come to Christ, this is our finest day. This is our greatest hour. But friend, we have to get, as they sang today, we got to get loud in our praise. We got to get authoritative in our testimony. This is our day and this is our hour. Do you have on Christ? It needs to show in everything you say and everything you do. The same vessel cannot have cursing and blessing. You can't talk like a sailor out there in the world and come and praise God. The praise that you have here has to be in the sanctuary, but it has to be in the firmament of His power. It has to be on your bed. It has to be wherever you are. My Jesus Christ is not a vacation God. He is a lifetime God that occupies every second of my existence, and He's in this house right now. And God is saying to somebody in this building, if you would slip on Christ today, your life would change. Friend, I tell you that my God is not only my Savior, He is my provider. I've got more money in the bank than I need. Disease and sickness comes to me regularly, and I rebuke it in Jesus' name, and it comes to naught because I've got on Christ. He is my ambassador. He is my coat of arms. He is my armor. I've got on Christ 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. And this is just the place I come to let off the steam that is building up in me and say, I want to gather with God's people and I want to praise with God's people, but I'm going to praise God tomorrow by myself. I'm going to live God for God tomorrow by myself. Wherever I go, Christ is going to be there. If you're in this building today and you've never given your life to Christ, I want you to walk down this aisle and say, "Preacher, I want to put on Christ." If you're in this building and you're sick,